The Business Buzz Podcast.
You're tuned in to the Business Buzz.
Good evening and welcome to the Business Buzz right here on VOW FM 88.1, broadcasting live from our studios right here in Bramfontein. The time has just gone by 3 minutes after 6 p.m. on a Thursday, which means it's time for us to give you the Business Buzz for your weekly roundup of business and economics news. My name is Mliwa Gavaza and I will be taking you until about 7 p.m. So definitely make sure you stay tuned. It's going to be quite an interesting show. Who's to say that the world of business can't be entertaining? Definitely make sure you stay tuned because it's going to be one of those shows that you do not want to miss. On the show today, we have our brand new heavy. That's usually that part of the month, the last Thursday, where we celebrate a person in South Africa, a young person in South Africa doing the things in their business, in their field of endeavor, in their industry, in their profession, in their hustle. And for today, we have an interesting person. We have a creative in the building with us. We're going to be with Teboho Malope, who's going to be, you know, chilling with us. We're going to get to know him a little bit, how he started his journey, what drives him, what keeps him up at night, and then finally we're going to find out what he wants his legacy to be and what he wants to be remembered for. So that's how the show is going to be looking. Otherwise, coming up, we're going to be having our business wrap. That's a part of the show where we give you a roundup of the week's top trending business and economics news, followed by our Buffalo Index for the state of your 100 rand. So definitely make sure you keep in touch for that. Remember as well that you can find and follow us on social media. We are VOW FM 88.1, and on Facebook we are VOW FM, that's Voice of Vids, and you can also find our other Facebook page, that's Vids Radio Academy. On Twitter we're at VOW FM, and then our hashtag is hashtag Business Buzz. On WhatsApp we are 0840784912, and you can also stream the station live on vowfm.co.za. Remember that podcasts of the Business Buzz show are available online at vids.journalism.co.za, so then make sure you keep it locked onto that. We are here until 7 p.m., so definitely make sure you don't turn that dial. Keep it locked. This is the Business Buzz.
Business Wrap with Ken Sweatman.
It's time for us to get into our business wrap. That's a part of the show where we give you a roundup of the week's top trending business and economics news. And on the line, we are joined by financial expert. We have Ken Swettenham. How are you, Ken?
I'm very well this evening, and yourself?
I'm doing fine. Thank you so much. In terms of the business wrap for this week, I think we are sort of drawing towards the end of the year. You know, so how have the markets been performing, and what's been going on this week?
Well, to be honest with you, it's one of the things which concerns me a great deal. We've had a very poor run on our stock market this year, and the market is currently sitting, the top 40 index, down around 13.5% year to date. And this has been somewhat of a surprise, because the year started very well. By the end of February, we were actually up about 8%. So if we take that into account, the market has actually lost somewhere around 21% of its value since the end of February. And that has serious problems for people holding any sort of investment in unit trusts and insurance policies and more often pension or provident funds. And somewhere along the line, it's affecting all of us when we're not getting the growth in our equity market like we're used to enjoying, to be honest with you.
So in terms of the markets, I guess for the year as a whole, what are some of the major points from the year that have affected us? I think I remember a couple of months ago, I think the trade war with China has affected us a little bit, especially on the currency side. But in terms of the markets through 2018, what have been some of the things that have caused us to be where we are at the moment?
You're quite right. I mean, the currency is affected by the fight of the USA with the trade wars. And in fact, with the dollar weakening, our rand has strengthened substantially over the last week or two. And of course, with all the nonsense about Brexit in the UK, we've strengthened massively against the UK pound also just over the last sort of 10 days or so. That's very good news in many areas. But believe it or not, it's not good news for our markets, because a lot of our stocks, especially the mining and resource stocks, are very much based on what happens with the currency, because their earnings come in dollars. And when the rand strengthens, their earnings go down. So we've seen a huge drop recently in the resource index, although that index is up very slightly on the year so far, about 2%. But the biggest problem has actually been in the industrial index, and one share in particular, and that's Naspers, which many people may have heard of. But Naspers makes up almost 20% of our market, that one share alone. And when that one share drops substantially, it pulls the whole market down with it. And that's effectively what's happened this year. Naspers has dropped quite sharply this year, and it's pulled down the whole market with it. And as a result, if you've got, as I said, if you've got any sort of investments which have any sort of linkage to a stock market tracker fund, then you've lost money this year, I'm afraid.
So in terms of, I guess, the year going forward, do you expect that some of that the market on the whole is likely to strengthen going into 2019, or should we sort of be expecting more turmoil?
Well, unfortunately, I think it's going to be the latter. We've talked about the economic growth in South Africa many times. We're going to get economic growth this year of barely 0.5%, when it was originally predicted closer to 2%. Next year, they're talking again about 1.7, 1.8% growth. And we need a lot more than that. We can't expect businesses to grow their earnings and grow their businesses, which will reflect on the share price, when the economy of the country isn't growing. So while we have the stunted growth in the economy in general, we're going to continue having these sort of issues on our markets. We are getting to a point on the good news side, if there is any sort of green shoots, as they call it, that the market is beginning to look, in my opinion, slightly undervalued, which may attract some big institutional buyers to the market, possibly foreign buyers. And when people start buying, it might start pushing the share prices up. But I could be clutching the straws there, to be honest with you.
Thank you so much. That was us with Ken Swetenemi. He is our financial expert, giving us a roundup of the week's top trending business and economics news. As you heard, the big thing for the year is that the stock market has been down 13.5% for the year. And some of the things that have pulled the market down greatly has been, you know, some of the international things such as the trade war, I think, some of the volatility with emerging markets, and the other one is just the fact that Naspers, because it's so big on the stock exchange, the drop in Naspers has actually caused a sort of a systemic drop in the rest of the market. So that's it in terms of our business wrap for this week. On the other side of this, we get into our Buffalo Index as Elna tells us the state of your 100 Rand. Keep it locked. This is VAU FM.
You're tuned in to the Business Buzz.
Hello. We're back on the Business Buzz, and today we are talking brand new heavy, and right now it's time for us to get into the Buffalo Index, where we give you the state of your 100 Rand, and we have Elna to just give us that. How's it looking, Elna?
It's good. I'm so excited to talk all about films and directing today. I think it's one of those things that a lot of us dreamed of when we were a kid, like one day I'm going to stand there, I have my Oscar speech ready. So today on the Buffalo Index, obviously we don't all have big companies behind us, so I wanted to look at how can we maybe get into a little bit of that directing, making some videos, you know, on a smaller budget. So one thing you definitely need is obviously your tech. So if you want to start small, you can get a really good smartphone. And maybe just start there. You know, get yourself into a little bit of that shooting mode. And one really good option is a Huawei P20 Pro.
That's a good phone.
Yeah. So you can get that for about 10K, which I know is a lot of money. But if you're wanting to invest in something good, that's 100 buffaloes. So it's a worthwhile buy. But then you could also get an entry-level camera, something like Canon EOS 4000D. That's about just under $5,000, so just under 50 buffaloes. But then you need a good laptop, so you need your MacBook maybe, and some good editing software like Adobe, which costs around 650 rand a month. So even on that level, you know, you need to invest. You need some good tech if you're being even remotely serious about this. But something that I thought was really interesting is, what is if you just want to, you know, make those home videos a little bit more professional, but you don't have lots of cash?
Yeah.
Well, one thing you can do is get some apps that are free. Mm. So there's Adobe Premiere Clip, which is quite nice. You can just edit and resize video content, and it's free, as I said. There's CyberLink Power Director, and this one is one that I'm really interested in. It's called Splice, and the reason why I mention it is it has no ads or watermarks, but it's from the makers of the GoPro, which to me is a really reliable brand.
Yeah.
I mean, GoPro is great. They must make
it. I'd love
stuff.
To touch that piece of software.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When I was researching this, I thought, like, ooh, I need to go to my app store, get some of these. So that's a good start. But then you need to learn the craft. Not all of us are able to enroll in, like, a film and video course. So one thing you can do, I'm sure, Madhuwa, you've heard of Udemy, the online course platform. They have a special running now with the whole Black Friday time of year. It normally costs 4,000 rand, but currently for just 200 rand, that is just two buffaloes, you guys, the complete video production bootcamp may be what you want to look at.
So from 4,000 to 200.
Yeah, well.
That is crazy.
Yeah, so that sounds like a really good one. They have a bunch of other video editing courses also. And, yeah, I think that's a good start. I know we might not all be the next genius behind a movie or a Nando's ad, but it can, you know, those videos of your friends partying, like maybe you can make them a bit nicer.
I like that. I think out of everything you just said, the 200 rand, definitely that's where the money is at.
Mm. And I also think that kind of thing, if you're investing in skills, then that day when you get that pretty phone, sure, it takes great photos, but the skills behind it and the creative eye, that's really what you're going to be able to sell to people if you're serious about this.
So you heard that's what the state of your 100 rand is looking like. If you want to get into some filmmaking, whether it's on a phone or whether you want to use some professional equipment, that's what it's looking like. Udemy, Black Friday special, 200 rand. I think for me, that's where the real value is at. But on the other side of this, we're going to be talking to someone who is a real creative and is going to let us know, you know, maybe perhaps some of the things that he uses. Yes, Elna?
As opposed to us who are not real creative.
Wow. Fine. He's going to be telling us what it's like to make a Nando's ad. Yes.
Okay, I haven't done that.
Yes.
So I'll give that to you.
So yes, on the other side of this, we're going to be getting into our brand new heavy. So definitely make sure you keep it locked. This is the Business Buzz.
Much justice on the Business Buzz.
You're listening to the Business Buzz right here on VAW FM 88.1. Remember that you can keep in touch with us and keep the conversation going on Facebook. We are VAW FM, that's Voice of Vids. And we also have our other Facebook page, that's Vids Radio Academy. On Twitter, we're at VAW FM, and you can use our hashtag, that's hashtag Business Buzz. So it's time for us to get into our brand new heavy. Every last Thursday, we like to celebrate a young person in South Africa who is doing the things in their particular industry, in their hustle. And today we are proud to have Teboho Tebsa Malope, who is in studio with us. He is a creative. How are you, Teboho?
I'm fantastic, man. I was stuck in traffic for like 2 hours. So.
Yeah.
But I'm great. Brand new heavy. Oh. Heavy. Sounds good. I'm going to change my Twitter profile. Going to add brand new heavy.
Heavy.
But thank you, guys. Thank you for having me. I'm looking forward to the conversation. Yeah.
Okay, cool. So, Teboho has done quite a bit. And, you know, I have... a bit of a clip. My technical producer, Gwinchi, he's going for this because, you know, Teboho actually directed a Nando's ad. And we want to hear just a little bit, you know, some of this creativity.
Is this just how we sell things now? The face paint, neon, burning TVs, hashtags.
So, yes, you heard that's one of his productions. So before we begin the conversation, what's it like being able to do, you know, projects like that? I mean, you know, cultural impact of a brand like Nando's, because Nando's always takes risks.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, being associated with such a brand and actually adding your creative touch to something like that.
Yeah, let me put it to you this way. Every single director in this country wants to do a Nando's ad.
Yeah.
It's like what do you call it? It's like
the holy grail.
Yeah, it's like the holy grail of commercials, right? Yeah. And I think we all know it's commercials. We all know they're selling a product, but because it's Nando's, they try and push the envelope a little bit. So there's a little bit more creative freedom. There's a little bit more like taking risks, right? And there's a little bit more of a street cred, right? Yeah. So it's like people don't actually mind being sold to by Nando's because they kind of dig what they say. Yeah. And the other thing is like the big on social commentary, you know?
Mm.
And like how many times can you say I made an ad and I actually said something, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's the other cool thing. And that's why a lot of directors want to do a Nando's ad. So I'm glad that I've managed to tick that box, you know, and we can look forward to what else is coming.
Mm. So, you know, for us to just begin the conversation, we're already at a high point.
Yeah.
So we might as well.
I think I'm always on a high point. I need somebody to tone me down. Tone me down, people.
How long have you been in the industry for?
Well, see, that question for me is crazy because, like, when people ask that question, they're almost all the time refer to the film industry, right?
Mm.
And I think my story is actually like a story about story, right?
Yeah.
So it's not really a story about filmmaking per se.
Yeah.
It's like right now I'm known as a filmmaker because that's the medium that I specialize in. But the bigger sort of broader scope is storytelling, right?
Yeah.
So for me, the question is, how far back did you start being a storyteller, right?
So tell us.
And that goes as far back as my early teens, right? We used to do community theater.
Yeah.
I grew up in central western Jabavu, right? And right next to where I grew up, there was like a park called Open Hammer Park. It's still there.
Yeah.
It's funny. In the middle of the park, there's like a big tower. When you stand on top of it, you can actually see the whole of Soweto.
Oh, wow.
At the bottom is Credo Mutua Village, right? And Credo Mutua stayed there for a couple of years.
Yeah.
And you build these crazy, like, sculptures, like animals with like three heads with breasts on their calves, and like it's like a bit of a crazy sort of experience. So I grew up in that space, in that environment, in that same park. It's just like, as I'm saying it, I'm going, damn, that's wild. Like the Oppenheimers and Credo Mutua in one yard, you know. But in that park, there's a hall that we used to sort of, as kids, go there and do like community theater.
Yeah.
Right? So we used to do plays. We used to do, remember back in the day, gumboot dance.
Yeah.
And we used to like pretend we were doing Sarafina or Gibson Kente, right? So storytelling for me started in my early teens.
Mm.
And at that point, a year later, I think about, because I was like, from when I was about 11, I was part of community theater.
Yeah.
And about when I was 13, I had sort of a chance experience to meet Spike Lee.
Mm.
And I guess for me, that's when it all turned around, right? So I went from going...
No, hold on. Can we come back?
Yeah.
Can we come back to Spike Lee? Like, how does someone get a chance meeting with Spike Lee?
It's I mean, like, I always say, like, and like tomorrow I'm doing a TED Talk, right?
Mm.
And this morning I was at the rehearsals, and I was like, telling all these stories, and they're like, wait. So they keep sending me back.
Yeah.
Wait, stop. Tell us about that one, right?
Yeah.
And I think it's because I feel like my life is a series of stories, right? It's a series of crazy stories that so happen to happen to me.
Yeah.
And I think I'm blessed enough to sort of be in the right place at the right time, and things happen for me that way. I guess I have to thank God, you know, because I think I didn't manufacture any of it myself.
Yeah.
There's surely somebody up above who's looking over me, right?
Yeah.
So Spike Lee, right? It happens on a copy. just off Melville, like in what's called Sophia Town today.
Yeah.
There's like a church that's like a heritage site of Joburg. And that's one of the churches in Sophia Town. I think they used to go and pray or something, right?
Mm.
So I so happened to be in that area. And I saw these big trucks. I saw big lights. I went, what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
So the curious me sort of goes, like, tiptoes and walks in. And then I see people shooting cameras. I'm like, whoa, it's a movie. And the next thing I see Spike Lee, and I knew who he was at the time.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, my God. It's Spike Lee. I got to do the right thing now. So I walk closer, and then they let me sit right next to him and watch him direct.
Oh, wow.
So I literally stood there, and I just watched him. I remember just looking at him probably for a good 10, 12 minutes.
That's crazy.
Just like being blown away by seeing like a black man have so much power and control and so much leadership. And that completely transformed my life.
How old are you at the time? Around what period is it? And what was the production?
So I was around 13.
Yeah.
I need to cross-reference this. 13 or 14?
Yeah.
I think I was 13 or 14.
Yeah.
And I'm not quite sure what the production was.
Yeah.
I've been trying to research it. But I found out that he came, like part of my research is that he came and he did a documentary on Nelson Mandela.
Oh,
it was like
okay.
Part of like a channel or I'm not quite sure, right?
Around what year was that?
Around 1997, 98.
Okay, yeah, okay. Right, so literally
so
like 20 years ago.
Literally 20 years ago.
Right? Yeah.
So I need to double check and I need to do my research and see and check out those scenes that he shot when he was here.
Yeah.
So then I met him there. And then at that point, here's this little kid that's been telling these stories and doing these plays. And suddenly I see cameras, I see lights, I go, man. And I see a black man telling the stories using this medium called film.
Yeah.
I think that was the first spark, you know. And I think the important thing is like exposure is everything, right?
Yes.
It's like I always ask myself, if I was never exposed to that moment, where would I be today?
Yeah.
Maybe like filmmaking would still be like a distant dream, you know. But because I saw somebody that kind of looked like me do it, I think I kind of bought in. The wildest thing also about that experience is that I then went home. I got home. I used to play football. So you go practice, play under 15 as well, like sort of try stay fit. And then I used to go to this theater called Amphitheater, right? Like an open-air theater.
Yeah.
It's right next to theater today. It's still there.
Yeah.
And I got there and I was running up the stairs. And this is like this amphitheater is the same space where Nelson Mandela's daughter did that famous speech where they offered him freedom. And he said, I'm not going out until my peers and until all the rest of the leadership and political parties are free, right? And where he did that speech, where Nelson Mandela sort of did that speech, that's where I used to run because I grew up a stone throw away from there. And when I got there running up the stairs and jogging up the stairs, I get up to the top and there's Spike Lee again with his crew. And they're standing there, they're pointing, right? I'm going, what's going on, right? Like it happened, and I think they were there sort of plotting the next scene or whatever. They didn't have cameras there. It was just eight or nine of them.
Yeah.
They were just there looking and pointing. And I remember running at him and going, I saw you today. I dig your style, bro. And I ran off, right? So for me, that story is really about exposure.
Mm.
It's really about me seeing film at a really high level. And that's what turned me from just being a storyteller, to using and thinking about the medium of film as a vehicle to tell my stories.
So did you ever picture after that, because you're 13?
Yeah.
Right. Does young Teboho ever think of himself as anything else apart from a storyteller after that point?
No. Okay. It doesn't happen.
So all the usual things that people are pushed to doctor, lawyer, accountant, did never...
Well, of course. Of course, the black parentals will never let that slide, right? So the black parentals will always push you to something, right?
Mm.
So they pushed me to like engineering and it didn't last.
Mm.
You know, it was like a year or two, and then the second year they actually realized how miserable I was in doing it. And at that point...
Where did you go?
Well, I'm going to expose my age now. At the time, it was called RAU. If you know RAU University.
Yeah.
Then at the time, it was called RAU. And I remember I went, and at some point, they actually realized that, you know what, this is not working out, you know. And funny enough, even at that time when I was still trying to find ways to be a storyteller.
Mm.
So I remember also joining the theater and trying to do stuff. In fact, I'm sort of one of the early guys to be part of Raw Radio.
Mm.
And today is like one of the big ones out there, you know. And it was quite fascinating because then I still tried to navigate.
For our younger listeners, you know.
Raw Radio today is called UJFM.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So I was like. So at the time, I was like one of the early guys that started. Okay. And I had a show like you guys. So yeah. I remember I used to sit like this and used to chat. And it was quite interesting times, you know.
Yeah.
And I still felt like I was compelled to pursue. But my parents already knew, right?
Mm.
But then at that point, that's when we hit like a massive dip. As a family, like, we ran out of money. We ran out of funds.
Yeah.
You know, and, like, my parents' back was against the wall, right? My mom's back was against the wall.
Mm.
And there was no choice, really. It was like, well, whether you continue with this or you choose something else, there's no money for it, right?
Yeah.
So do whatever you want to do, right?
Mm.
And that's how I found myself in film.
Mm.
That's a story for another day because that's going to take another 3 hours.
Actually, I want to get something from you because it's on, you're saying that you said engineering, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So that means you must have had, you know, some inclination towards maths, physics, science,
yes,
that type of thing.
Yes.
So your mind could comprehend,
yeah,
that world, but at, yeah, the same time comprehend sort of that creative space.
Yeah.
Do you use any of that hardline thinking in what you do now?
100%.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I think sometimes it's the myth around sort of the creative industries, right?
Mm.
That you don't actually so much need that sort of other side of your brain.
Yeah.
And it's a myth, right? And I'll tell you why. When I started out, for instance, I used to do a lot of camera work, right? Mm. I was very technical. I used to do a lot of camera work. At some point, I started focus pulling and whatnot. Mm. And a lot of that stuff is numbers, it's equation, it's formulas, right?
Because you have to measure distances.
Because you have to measure distances. You have to do this. You have to understand lensing. You have to understand exposure. Yeah, and it's all numbers. It's all like numerical sort of formulas, right? Mm. It's not some sort of feeling that this exposure is, you know, it's not that. It's all numbers, right?
Yeah.
And what I realized, like, the big thing about my brain learning how to think that way is that the creativity was still there,
yeah,
right? It didn't die because I activated a different part of my brain.
Yeah.
It was still there. But then much later on, especially now, like, since I've been sort of doing the work that I've been doing, I realized that now I have the language, right, to speak to other technical guys on set. Right? So now I'm not just this creative who's like in a corner with other creatives.
Yeah.
I can talk to creatives and they'll get me. And then I can turn and look at all the technical guys, the grips, the camera, the lighting guys, the focus pullers,
yeah,
and I'll speak to them in a more technical level.
Way, yeah.
And I can reach them as well.
Yeah.
And so for me, that has become a massive asset,
okay,
for the work that I do.
Mm. That's actually quite massive. Now, before we go for our break, I want to sort of in the same line, because, you know, I think especially in the current environment, you know, creatives are languishing and, you know, saying that, you know, it's tough out here. But if you attack it in a certain way, I think it can work out. And one of the ways that it's done, we are a business show, is making sure that your business is right. So for you over the years, how did you learn the business side of things?
Yeah.
Because it has to put food on the table and sustain, yeah, itself somehow.
100%. Look, I always think, like, you know, you're saying, like, some people are saying, yo, it's tough for us now, right? In the same breath, there's people that say, man, it's popping now,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So it's never tough for everybody all at the same time, mm-hmm, right? So I've always said when it's tough, like, I mean, when there was the recession that happened a couple of years ago, some people wealth skyrocketed.
That's true.
Right? So every time it's tough for somebody, it's dope for somebody else.
Yeah.
So I will always want to be in that good side of history, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And it must be dope for me the whole time,
yeah,
right? Now, when I started out, I was a freelancer.
Yeah.
So as a freelancer, there's a couple of skills that you learn or you have to learn or you're going to die, right?
Yeah.
It's because you will score a gig, right? And for a good 2-3 months, you're popping, right? And then, you know, and then it goes dry, for the second half of the year.
Yeah.
Now, if you haven't learned that just because it's popping in the 6 months doesn't mean it's going to pop the next 6 months, and I got to stack up this money well enough, invest it well enough, and be clever enough, then you're going to die as a creative.
Yeah.
So those skills that I learned as a freelancer who was sort of working in and out, 1 month I'm earning large, the next month it's zero, I had to learn how to stack up my finances enough to save me for the next couple of years or the years where it gets dry. Right. And so once you learn that skill, then you do almost like the basics, right? The basics are like, yo, is the credit card paid off?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yo, is the overdraft covered? Yeah. Is it covered for a good long time? Yeah, it is, right? All right, cool. Now a little bit of cash in some mutual funds, so I've got something going. Now a little bit of cash in my medical aid, so if anything happens, I'm dope. So once you cover those bases, you sort of stack up your principle, your financial principles. And then after a while, then you start thinking, I need passive income.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because if I'll only make money if I'm on set, what happens if I can't be on set?
Yeah.
What happens if I go blind next week?
Yeah.
Or what happens if my tap of ideas runs dry?
Yeah.
What happens, like sometimes I used to think of it as a director, as a soccer player, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, yo man, like it's all happening. It's like 8 days, it's getting hyped. You know, it's like, okay, maybe I'm currently the Neymar, the Messi, you know? But what happens 3-4 years from now when
it's done?
When it, you know, hopefully it doesn't die, right?
Yeah.
Hopefully it's like, but you can't exercise that mindset. You can't be like, yo, I'm gonna be popping for life. You know, you have to go, what happens if I'm not popping in 3 years' time.
Mm.
Then you start planning passive income. I remember as a kid, I was still like camera assistant. I bought myself like a Lotus box that had stuff in it, like gaffer tape, clapperboard, measuring tape, all of these things. And I used to rent it out to film sets, right? Because I had friends who were camera assistants, but they didn't have these things.
Yeah.
So I used to go, okay, when you go on the set, just take mine, rent it out for $500. Give me $200, keep 300, right?
Mm.
And so the guys that didn't have that gear, they used to start getting it from me. They pay me a little fee, and then they keep the rest of the fee, and then they use the stuff. So even if I wasn't working, there was a little bit of passive income.
That was coming in.
So I guess the point I was trying to make is that working as a freelance artist is like you always think of the dry times, dry periods.
Always got to stay ready.
And once you do that, it forces you into good financial habits.
Mm.
You know, so I think, and I'm grateful that happened to me while early on.
Cool. So we are on the Business Buzz. We are with Tebsa. We're with Tshebogo Malohpe, who is a director, a creative, a storyteller. And he's just been telling us sort of the origin story and how he got his money right, or at least learned how to get his money right. On the other side of this, we're going to be talking to someone that he actually grew up with so that we can get that other side. You know, was he a troublesome child? You know, did we know that this stuff was going to come and happen? And then on the other side of that, we're going to be asking, you know, our questions around how he wants to be remembered. So definitely make sure you keep it locked. This is The Business Buzz.
The Business Buzz.
Welcome back to The Business Buzz. We are talking to Tshebogo Malohpe. He is a creative and a storyteller in studio. He is our brand new heavy for the month of November. So we were just talking to him just around, you know, the origin story, the business, getting it right. But right now we want to, you know, switch it up a little bit. We actually have one of our FM OGs. We have Simon Studio. Wow. No, Sim is actually our music manager here at Vow FM, and you know, coincidentally he grew up with Tebsa. So we want to know, like, did you see this greatness growing up?
This is a really pleasant surprise, because you got my boy in the house. So thank you guys for the surprise. Just a warning, like, keep the other stuff off air. Only good stuff. Only good stuff.
What was the question again?
Yeah, did you see this happening, this greatness, these Nando's adverts, these Questa music videos? Did you see it growing up?
Yeah, maybe not the music videos and other stuff, but him as a storyteller, definitely.
Yeah.
I sent him a picture about a couple of months ago of him using his body as a tripod with his first camera shot. I don't know if it was his first, but was one of the ones that kind of started everything. Him as a storyteller, yes.
Yeah.
We knew it. He didn't tell you that he used to be a poet as well.
Ah.
So that's where he kind of kick-started from. So
see, that's why I speak like it's slam poetry, right? Didn't you see, like, my cadence when I speak? I'm like, you know, that's what I do.
So how do you guys actually know each other? Like, was he a next door neighbor? Is he your cousin? Like,
so where my mom stays.
Yeah.
Well, three streets away.
Yeah.
Kind of three streets away.
Yeah.
That's where my mom stays. So yeah. I stayed in another area, Kopiumville.
Yeah.
It was White City, and then there was around where he stayed.
Yeah.
So he used to play, like, he used to be very competitive, like, almost 5'2", playing pro football, or like the Pirates kind of vibe.
Yeah.
I was still kind of coming up, still playing at grassroots level, as I say. But also, our kind of ways interacted when we also were in our youth ministry at church as well.
Yeah.
So he was doing what he's doing now. Back then, I was doing music and still doing music. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mentioned Central Western Jabavu earlier.
Yeah.
That there's like Oppenheimer Park, Credo Muta Village, and you know, like. Did I? I did, right?
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, I did. So I am. So if you think of it, like, it's up on the hill.
Yeah.
Credo Muta Village. That's where my house was. Like, so we're like North Cliff.
Mm.
So I'm like at the top, and then you go down We used to call it Scotty Paul. Like, that's where he grew up.
Yeah.
Like down there.
Yeah.
Like down by the valley. Yeah. That's where he grew up. So we kind of like, you know, we're in the same township pretty much.
Okay.
One thing I do remember that was pretty amazing. There was this long road, I won't tell you where we were going, like, it's a long road. We used to walk down there and actually tell each other what we want to do in the future.
Yeah.
I was like, no, this will be me taking my first award. Here was me taking this, and award goes to and little did we know that we were actually like kind of like casting vision, as they say, of what we wanted to do in future.
Mm.
And I remember all those moments of the stuff he used to say back then.
Yeah.
He wanted to be a storyteller.
Mm. And it's manifested.
I think also it's like, just so I can add on, I think it's also really important, like what Sim is saying, it's over and above imagining and dreaming stuff, over and above working hard and having talent. It's important to surround yourself with friends that you can dream with right? It's because it's easy for you to be around people, and sometimes it's not like they hate you, right, or like they don't like you, but sometimes they just don't have that vision, or they don't have that foresight, and they just don't feel like it's possible. So for me, I was lucky enough to have friends like Sim. There's another friend of ours, Lili, who also we grew up with. He's an actor. He's got a saucy ad out now. We grew up together, Sim and them, and we used to dream together.
Yeah.
In fact, one of also my oldest friends that I know, like that I've known literally since birth, is Mutlatsi Mafats, you know, the actor, and he plays Chava in Isidingo. As well, we used to sit in a train together dreaming, and you used to stand there and you'd act out like, okay, if I'm on that Oscar stage and I win the award, this is what I'm going to say, you know? And then I'd say, yeah, well, when I win the film award, this is what I'm going to say. So I think for anybody that's listening, I think as much as you put effort and time in your craft and in your work, I think do not neglect putting effort and time in the kind of circle that you put around you. And you can be intentional about it, right? The world may save you friends. You can be intentional about shifting scopes and changing friends and finding friends that speak into your vision. I think that's important.
And I understand that you guys have worked together on, you know, some things.
Not directly, but he gave me my first gig.
Yeah.
And the next gig, and the next one. So outside of Vow, I also write music for commercials.
Yeah.
So I told him one time, I'm like, dog, I want to do this thing. Yeah. And 2 months later, I was like, here's a brief, right?
Yeah.
And he told me, hey, you got to be quick, man. You got to be quick. Trying out to work fast.
I was actually about to ask, what is he like to work with? I guess you...
He doesn't like people who like to sleep. Like, give me work. If I say give me 2 examples, give me 10.
Yeah.
If I say...
Yeah.
give me two examples by five, give me two examples by one, you know. He's like, let's move. Because there's somebody out there, some young kid out there who's waiting to take your
you gotta stay hungry.
And when he gave me that and stuff started kind of snowballing, I think I can do more, and I know I'll do more. But I think what I appreciate about him, till today, he still has time for us. Little, some of the people that he's met, we won't mention, like really, really big people.
Yeah.
But he still has times like, yo, man, I saw this docky that I think you need to see. Come to my house now. And I would rock up there. And if you get to his house late and you were supposed to get there at 12, you get there at 5 past 12, he's going to shout a bit. But you said 12. Mm. Can you just honor the 12 o'clock, even if you're visiting me?
Yeah.
But yeah, he's...
He's one of those.
He's yeah, but very cool.
Well, man, I'm getting emotional. Like, it's like... it's, yeah. No, look, I mean, Simnet is an incredibly talented guy, and I'm not sure if you guys know, but, like, he's, you know... I've also seen him from the first time he picked up a guitar. Right, it's funny, when he went to go try and register at music school, I was standing with him outside the gate when they told us how much the registration fee is going to be, and he started panicking. And we're like, you know what? We're not panicking. We're going to pray. So we stood at the gate and we say, yo, big man, you have a plan. You know? And today, I mean, he's, you know, like he's saying, he's scored for commercials, he's making music, he's like music manager at Vow. It's all these things that are really incredible. And for me to realize how far we come and to see where he is, I get really, like, you know, I get really emotional.
Mm.
And I try not to be, because when I go down that route, you guys are going to have to, like, stop me from crying. And it's not a good look, you know.
Yeah.
But he's right. He's a great guy. And I think, and I'm looking forward to all the other stuff that's coming his way here.
Mm. Thank you so much to Sim for just, you know, coming through and letting us know that other side of what Tibbs is like. And, you know, we hope. I understand it, because I have friends in my life that I've been with for like 20, 25 years, you know, and I understand what it means to have those types of people and actually still have them in your life, and you actually see that growth and that development, and you pull each other up and the like. Yeah. So I appreciate the story that you guys have.
Yeah.
So we're just going to take a quick break.
Before we take a quick break,
yeah.
The story he tells about the camera, that picture, he's I just want to make clarity. He's correct. So that was like, it was a high 8 camera.
Yeah.
Like, these new millennials don't know. They're talking about Huawei's, what, I showed on the Apple, what, i10 or whatever. It was a high 8 camera.
Yeah.
And that was the first camera that, like, I picked up and I started shooting with. And it used to break, and we used to, like, bang it like this to try get it to work. And then from the high 8, then we went into like the P2150, which was like mini DV tape, to the DVX100, to the Sony X3, blah 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 blah. And now we're shooting like whatever, we're shooting on Alexis and Red cameras. And this year on my birthday, this guy bought me a high 8 camera. and he brought me a high 8 camera in a box, all wrapped up. I thought, man, am I getting Yeezys? Because it was in a shoebox. I was like, oh, I'm getting. And then I opened it, and it was like a high 8 camera that still works. And so I just want to say on air, thank you for it, man, because you haven't forgotten, and that really touched my heart. So I appreciate it.
Cool. Quick break, and then we'll come to the end of the show. Keep it locked. This is the Business Buzz.
More justice on the Business Buzz.
In the background, those are the sounds of a song by Questa and Wale. It's a song, I'm just going to allow the director for that particular music video to just tell us in like 30 seconds what the vision was behind the Spirit music video.
The idea behind the Spirit Music video was, if you've never been to a township in Soweto, if you've never seen people in the township, when you watch it, you need to go through a lifetime of the township, and that you can never shake it off. It's like if anybody had to ever, if nobody had to ever write a book about the hood, is people that are coming much later need to grab this video and realize what the hood was and what the hood vibe was.
How was it working with Wale?
Look, I mean, what? That's a tough question. Look, he's a great guy.
Yeah.
I think on the day he wasn't really in a great space. I had, like, a lot of what I do directing is also sort of to manage people, right? And so, let's just say, like, I exerted myself a lot in managing personalities. But I found out, which was kind of unfortunate, because I found out a couple of days after I shot that his cousin had actually passed away the same day, right?
Yeah.
And so
it made sense
yeah. then. And I wish I had that intel when we were shooting, because I would have dealt with it slightly differently. But yeah, but it wasn't easy. The shoot itself wasn't easy. Questa is massive, and you can't take him anywhere without hundreds, thousands of people following, right?
Yeah.
So there was a lot of dynamics that I was playing with, but I'm really happy that the video came out the way it did.
Okay, cool. One of the things that we, you know, like to ask all our brand new heavies, you know, it's our tradition, is what do you want your legacy to be? What do you want people to remember you for? What do you want your value to be?
So, I mean, I used to have a very, like, deep, philosophical, ambitious answer to that. I mean, if you had asked me this, let's say, about 3 months ago or 4 months ago, I'd say, I want to be remembered as that guy that repositioned Africa to the world, you know, that when they thought, well, the African aesthetic, the African visual, the African story, they thought about me, right? I always have this this idea that as a continent, we've inherited a narrative. It's like you're born in it. You didn't choose it. So in this narrative, everybody around the world have, you know, any narrative has an ending.
Yeah.
Right, and so this African narrative has a very bleak ending according to the narrative that's been set out for us, you know. And so I've always thought maybe my job and part of my job is to create a plot twist, you know, you know, to go, the rest of the world thinks this is what Africa is and where it's going, and then suddenly we flood them with stories and visuals, and we turn the tide of the narrative, and they start seeing Africa in a different light, and they start imagining a sort of brighter, more amazing future. So if you had asked me 3 months ago what I would like to be remembered for, I'd say that I would like to be remembered for that guy that changed the plot for the African narrative. You're asking me 3 months now, and I'd say I'm a dad, and my little boy is turning 3 next week.
Yeah,
and I would like for him to remember me as a good dad, right? And I know it sounds so cliche, but nothing makes more sense than that, right?
Yeah.
Is that the problem with us artists and creative and whatnot is we are crazy individuals, man, and we live a crazy lives, and our dynamic is weird, you know, like our relationships half the time fall apart because we are away from home for weeks on end, because we think weird. When we don't have the idea, we stress. Sometimes we take narcotics or alcohol, we are hooked. Sometimes we mismanage finances. So as creative and as artists, we are crazy individuals, right? And so for me, it's like, I know the work is piling up. I know with the amount of work that I'm putting in and the effort and the time that we will achieve that first dream, right, of telling that different story. But what is of utmost importance now is that my kid doesn't remember me as, yeah, he was a dope artist, but he was kind of not great as a dad.
Yeah,
you know, I would rather him go, yo, I had the dopest dad on the planet.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and he so happened to be the best director in the world.
Yeah.
But
he's a dope dad. So for me, that's what I would like to remember it for.
Okay. So remember that you can keep in touch with us on social media. Let us know if you're a creative. Are you hustling? Have you been taking some of the lessons? You heard Teboho saying that the lessons that he learned from freelancing back in the day have carried him forward to this day. You can let us know on Facebook. We are Vow FM, that's Voice of Vids. And you can also find us, we have our other Facebook page, that's Vids Radio Academy. On Twitter, we are at Vow FM. And then you can find our WhatsApp line, that's 0840784912. You can also stream the station live on vowfm.co.za. And remember that podcasts of the Business Buzz Show are available on vids.journalism.co.za/business. So thank you so much to Tepsa for coming to the studio.
Oh, it's an hour already.
Yeah. You know, like,
time flies.
Yeah,
when
that brings
fun.
Us to the end of the show. as we close out, who is your favorite music video director, and what's your favorite ad?
Oh! yo, that's such a curveball. That's such a curveball question. All right, so there's a global, right?
Yeah.
Not local. All right. music video director, there's a guy called Roman Gavras.
Okay.
So Google him. He did one of my favorite videos for a guy called Jamie XX.
Okay.
So Roman Gavras.
Okay.
He's fantastic. I'm a big fan right now.
And ad.
Man, you'd have to... how far back do we go?
Let
me rattle off top three from the top of mind. There's an ad by legendary commercial South African director called Keith Rose.
Mm.
He did an ad for BMW with a mouse on a steering wheel.
Yeah.
And that was it was an ad about the power of the power steering.
Mm.
And it was just like a mouse. It was just on a mouse on a steering wheel and it was flipping. And Keith passed away sadly a few months ago. So may he rest in peace. And then there's a famous ad from my mentor, my demigod, my brother.
Oh wow.
Tebo Mahlatsi. Yeah. And Tebo Mahlatsi of Bomb and Yizo Yizo. And he did an ad for Sasol back in the day with little kids, and one kid was coming and say, I'm computer la mola. It was like these kids about to play soccer. And one was saying, yo, I'm Dr. Kumalo, and one was saying whatnot. So I thought that was a fantastic ad. And then most recently there's an ad by Greg Gray. For chicken licking with Zboo, who's like a machine. So Zboo sort of creates a machine so that he can go chow chicken licking and let the machine take care of his girlfriend.
Okay.
And so for me, those are the three ads that I'm vibing with.
Okay, cool. So that's it. We've reached the end of our show. Thank you so much to Tepsa for coming to studio and joining us and just letting us know what's going on and what keeps him going and the legacy that he wants to have. He wants to be the best dad in the world and the best music director ever. So thank you to our amazing team, to our executive producer.
Not music video director. Best director.
Yes. And just clarifying. Thank you to our amazing team, our executive producer, Elna Schutz, and together with our producer, Welcome Lishiva. Thank you so much to our technical producer, Kotlano Serame. Don't miss the Business Buzz, same time, same place next week for more insight into the world of business. For myself, Mudio Mob Justice Kavaza, it's good evening and take care.
Mob Justice on the Business Buzz. Listen to the Business Buzz every Thursday from 6 to 7 p.m. only on Vow FM. The Business Buzz Podcast.